This podcast of the Swain Event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900.
My man, Grant Ramey, GoVols 24/7, joining us here on the B-Drive Waterproof Hotline. This is GoVols 24/7 hour. We get Ryan Callahan on 930, but we're going to start it off with Grant to talk about this Tennessee basketball team. What an unbelievable atmosphere on Saturday, and Grant was there. Grant, good morning.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Man, we are great. So Charlie said early in the show that it was so electrifying in there that when Admiral dunked, even the media members were like, oh, boy. You know, they even reacted. Grant, did you react? Did you say, oh, boy, on that dunk?
The sad thing is I'm trying to do – so many different things during a game. Like we have a live thread on our website that we keep updated, and we got a tweet and stuff and all that nonsense that usually I kind of have to judge by what's going on, by what noise the crowd is making or kind of what's going on in the arena, especially road games. But when it's a home game and it's that crazy, I happened to look up about the time that Derek Obede was saving the ball behind him, and I saw Admiral just grab it kind of out of the corner of my eye. And just caught him just in time for that dunk, and I swear that had to be the loudest that arena I've ever heard it. Obviously, I haven't been in there as much as some people, but it's as loud as I've heard it in a long, long time, if not the loudest I've ever heard it. People talk about how much fans can make a difference at a game, especially in college basketball, home games versus road games. I don't know if Tennessee wins that game the other night against Georgia without the 22,000, what was it, 22,237 that was in the building. It was a crazy night.
So Grant, you mean tell me that you didn't hear Charlie saying, Charlie, do it again.
What, like a, ho, 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 whoa, yeah. Like just something like that.
Yeah, what was the reaction again? What did you say? What did you do again?
I mean, that was pretty much it. Like, I sit next to David Cobb, and I think I gave him one of those where I was just like, whoa.
Whoa, like, boy.
Did y'all see that?
You didn't hear
like something like that.
Grant, you didn't hear Charlie say that?
I didn't hear that, but the only thing that gets me right making that kind of noise is the Frisbee Dog halftime or
yes.
Red Panda or something like that.
Got it. Man, you follow this basketball program since you've worked at GoVols 24/7. How did they get to this point? Because the people on the outside, all we see is just Tennessee winning a championship, but you get a chance to see behind the scenes, guys getting suspended, guys getting in trouble, guys being in the doghouse. All the ups and the downs, you see it all. But how did this basketball team get to this point, Grant? Talk about some of those up and downs.
It seems like it's been a lot of downs up until this season. Fans have been crazy about Barnes's recruiting efforts and saying he wasn't going after enough, you know, highly rated guys and all that stuff. The storyline that was for the last 2 years, and it did look like that. I mean, they signed, I think, one 4-star in their time here, and that was Eve Fons, and the rest were 3-star guys. But when you look at some of the stretches of basketball they played last season, it was decent at times, and you could kind of see where they were headed with this group. Nobody obviously saw this giant step forward. I think it comes down to a certain eye for talent that they have. They've done a really good job putting good pieces to the puzzle together. Not only guys that complement themselves on the floor with each other, but off the floor as well. I think there's a ton of chemistry. This team really does. I mean, there's not a bad kid on this team. They really do love each other and pull for each other and all that stuff. And I think it's just a matter of putting all those pieces of the puzzle together and developing players. I mean, Rick Barnes is Charlie's seen him in practice. Rick Barnes is a madman on the practice floor. He's constantly going after these guys. They have one possession on the practice floor, and it feels like Rick stopped it 6 or 7 times to correct something and blow up on somebody. So they've just put the pieces of the puzzle together. They've found a way to develop all these guys, and they found some really good players that weren't highly recruited, like Admiral Schofield and Grant Williams. And I guess Admiral Schofield is a credit to Donnie Tindall, but Rick Barnes has developed his game a ton over the last three seasons, so. It's just kind of all clicking at once, and I don't think anybody really saw it coming.
We love college athletics, you know, because as fans, you know, we're invested. You know, if you're a donor. You know, you're giving money to the program. You can be a graduate. You've been there. So it's so much passion that we see displayed on the football field, in the basketball court, in those stadiums, those arenas. And we love college sports because of that. But the reason why I love college sports is we get to see the 4-year evolution sometimes of a student athlete. And we saw that with Josh Dobbs coming in, kind of being an afterthought, recruited, flipped from Arizona State. No one really gave him a chance to be the starting quarterback. And then look how he finished. You look at a guy like Josh Richardson, who came in as just an athletic defensive specialist, developed his basketball game, and look where he is now. Looks like he's the future of the Miami Heat. Signed the second contract, huge contract, became my cousin after that contract. You look at, Kevin Punter, you look at Jordan McRae. But how about, man, Admiral Schofield, Grant? Admiral Schofield was a guy that looked like he was out of position, too small to be a post player, but didn't handle the ball well, couldn't shoot it enough to be a three. Got himself in trouble, was suspended, was in a doghouse. And just look where he is now, man. How has he developed watching him over the last 2 or 3 years, Grant?
It's crazy the turnaround he's made, because, I mean, that suspension you're talking about was back last season in the Maui Invitational in November. He played in the first game of that Maui Invitational against Wisconsin, and then he showed up the second day against Oregon in sweats. He wasn't dressed out for that game. He was suspended for a violation of team rules, but Rick would never say what happened. I asked him after that game why he was suspended. He said for a violation of team rules. I said, oh, how long does that last? And Rick said, until I say so. And he would never go into what happened. I don't know what happened between those two games that got him suspended. But even when they got back from the Maui Invitational, Admiral really didn't ever see the floor. I mean, he would get a few minutes here and there, but he was really kind of a nobody for this team. It looked like it was going trending towards a bad direction. And then he went to Florida last season. It might have been the SEC opener. It was in December, January, really early. And he had a good game. He had a double-double. And it felt like that day it kind of started to click. And after that game, he said something along the lines of, I just focused on my defense and wanted to be a defensive-minded player and let the offense come to me when it comes to you. Just go within the flow of the offense. And that seems to be the biggest theme for these players. When you play for Rick Barnes, he wants you to do your thing defensively, give all your effort that you can on the defensive end, and whatever happens on the offense, within the flow of the offense, it happens. And ever since then, Admiral had a really good close to last season, a really good SEC schedule after that Florida game, became a kind of a six-man of the year candidate almost between January and the end of the season. And then over the offseason, he switches out to the three. They were wondering if he could guard the perimeter. He's shown them that he can be really effective on both ends of the floor at the three. He's a guy that, if you put a guard on him, he's too big for a guard. Or if he goes down low and you put a big on him, he can be too quick for a big. So he's a really good mix of ways that he can beat you, and he's shown that. I mean, this last 2-3 weeks, he's been without a doubt the guy that's carried this Tennessee basketball team. I think he's gone for 24, 25, and 23 points over the last three games, something like that. And he can hit the threes, one of the best three-point shooters on the team. He can step 2 feet inside the arc and hit a shot. He's got that really good turnaround fade that he hit the other night late against Georgia, or he can go down and score around the rim. So he's a guy that's he puts in the work, as Rick Barnes says over and over, and it's shown up in a lot of different areas.
Now, Grant, this is a little more of a goofy question, but I think a real one nonetheless. Ron Slay has become like almost a de facto like mascot for this team. And I think the media have really become enamored with him. He makes these really goofy Instagram videos about the team. And then in a timeout during this Georgia game, Ron comes out and gives like a speech at like during the timeout and hypes up the crowd. For one, do you think that actually helps the team? And do you know, because I haven't asked anybody, but has he, like, interacted with the team and been, like, in the locker room at all? Because since he's coming out at halftime, is he around the team?
I don't know if he, like, is in the locker room and stuff, but I do know he has interacted with the team, because that kind of pep rally thing you're talking about that happened the other night against Georgia. He did something similar against Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was honored on the floor before the game. He had the headband on, his old jersey. I think he even dunked it and kind of snuck the ball over the rim. It was pretty funny. But at halftime of that Kentucky game, they were down like 8 or 10, 9, something like that. And Grant Williams hadn't done anything. P.J. Washington had really shut down Grant Williams in the first half. And as Tennessee was coming onto the floor to start the second half, you know, breaking the huddle, walking onto the floor, Ron Slay was walking off the floor because he had the mic in his hand and was doing his thing on the court. And he kind of chested up Grant Williams and kind of just bumped him. And you could see them exchanging words, and he was basically telling Grant that it's time to show up and it's time to produce and whatever. You know, when you're a star, you got to be a star in these moments. And I think Grant Williams had like 14 or 16 points in that second half against Kentucky when Tennessee came back and won that game. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know if anybody loves Tennessee basketball the way Ron Slay does. The Instagram videos after wins, the one after Iowa State where he was doing the weather report. Walking out of Memorial Gymnasium after Tennessee won in Nashville, and the stuff with Kentucky, and then the stuff the other night. I mean, he's been a huge part. I think he does have a presence around the Tennessee basketball team because anytime he's in the building, you're going to know about it, and he obviously has a social media presence. And in this day and age, these players are going to know about that because they're on social media just like he is.
That's the advantage of having – Your legends, the people that wore that jersey before you, guys who played at a high level around your program. Because early in the season, this team really didn't know, like, the expectation. I'm not saying that Tennessee basketball is you know, some great powerhouse program in hoops, but Ron Slay knows what it's like to play on a winning team, to succeed here at Tennessee on the basketball court. And he got around this team. He was real with guys, and that's what you need. I think that's what Montario Hardesty, Kevin Simon, and Terry Fair is going to add to this football program coming back, letting these guys know what it's like to wear the orange. This is how you do it. I think Ron Slay is one of the – I think Ron Slay is one of the MVPs, man, of this season, for sure.
Yeah, and you're right. Tennessee basketball is obviously not a blue-blood college basketball program, but they have had really good stretches. Over the years, Ernie and Bernie and Ron Slay's guys, those eras, and obviously what Bruce Pearl did, and Konzo Martin taking them to the Sweet 16. I mean, they've had really good stretches of basketball at Tennessee, and you've seen Tennessee's Twitter account has been tweeting out all these videos since they beat Georgia and won the share of the SEC title the other night, as former players congratulating them and saying how proud they are of them and all the stuff. And I think that they do this team, the way they play, the way it's, the under-recruited guys, the three-star guys, the chip on their shoulders, the undersized, you know, pick 13th in the league, just a blue-collar defensive-first mentality. I mean, I think that it's easy for the guys that came before them and know what it means to win games at Tennessee to pull for this team and to like this team because of kind of that workman-like approach that they have.
Grant Ramey, GoVols 24/7 here in the Swain event. Grant, you know, I think of you as a basketball expert in all facets, not just college basketball, but pro basketball. When I have a basketball question, I think about you, Grant, and I always send you a text or a tweet because I just get so lost sometimes, and you are the person that finds me when it comes to basketball. Okay, now that all that said, Grant, are you familiar with our good friend Ben McKee? Have you seen him out and about? Covering basketball? Have you seen him on Twitter? Are you familiar with our good friend Ben McKee here?
Hey, you need better basketball sources, but B, yeah, I'm familiar with
him. Okay, so you have a good visual picture of Ben McKee. Okay.
Why are we doing this? Are we really doing this?
Question for you, Grant. Do you think Ben McKee looks like Steph Curry?
Steph Curry?
Yeah, what's wrong?
It's never been the first person that comes to mind.
Okay, just hey, I got
is
you on
the
here,
right,
man.
Answer or the wrong answer.
But you see, Grant probably doesn't have a great visual image of me in his head right now.
But I'm just saying he saw you like sometimes people see me with the bald head, whatever, and like, damn, that's Charles Barkley. Like that, it should be like the first thing that comes to mind.
Charles Barkley.
I've got that before. I got the really? Big old lips. I got bald head. You know, sometimes when I gain a little weight, you know, I look terrible. You know, I look like Charles Barkley a little bit.
Both sides of your neck.
Yeah, both sides, left and right. So, you know, if you really look like somebody, it only takes one time to see someone like, damn, that dude looks like Steph Curry. Damn, he looks like Charles Barkley. Hey, you know, Charlie looks like, you know, Seth Rogen. Gosh. It takes one time. Just want to know, man. Just.
It's kind of like me and Brad Pitt in Fight Club. If I had a dollar for every time somebody confused me with him, I wouldn't be, you know, writing about basketball on the internet.
Interesting, Grant. 865-200-5402. What is the realistic expectation for this basketball team going into the tournament, Grant? They get the double bye. They get the rest, which on one hand can be very, very positive, but on the other hand, it could be also negative that they're getting the rest. So how do you see this thing playing out, the double bye and having all this rest?
Well, I mean, when you look at the bracket, you know, it sounds like, you know, garbage when somebody says they'd rather have the number two seed than the number one seed because of the way the bracket played out. But it really is. That's legit. I mean, the teams in the top half of the bracket, Auburn's half of the bracket, Tennessee went 6-4 against those teams this season. And the teams in Tennessee's half of the bracket, the bottom half, with the number two seed, they went 7-1 against those teams. So they did get a really good draw with LSU or Mississippi State. They're going to play one of those two teams Friday night at 7 in St. Louis. They can beat either of those teams if they show up and play ball. They've proven that, obviously. They won at Mississippi State last week and beat LSU pretty good at home earlier this season. Beyond that, on their half of the bracket, it looks like Arkansas or Florida should be the biggest concern. Obviously, they beat Florida a couple weeks ago at home and lost to Arkansas in a game they should have won back late December, the SEC opener. So the bracket really did set up well. If you look at history, obviously Tennessee doesn't have very good history at the SEC tournament. Even the good seasons, the really good seasons they've had, they haven't played that well in the SEC tournament. But you look at this team and you kind of throw any history or expectations out the record out the window because they've you know, so far outplayed those expectations or anything somebody thought they were going to do this season. So they could make a run here if they keep playing well and do some good things in the SEC tournament. And if they don't, it's not the end of the world. They'll still probably be a number three seed in the NCAA tournament and kind of go from there.
Well, Grant, switching gears a little bit, Butch Jones, reportedly, according to the folks that are down there, it looked like the new Sentinel is down there. They've been saying stuff about it. Butch Jones is coming off the Jumbotron. And it looks to actually be real. This might actually be happening. What are your thoughts about this day of liberation that Tennessee is finally experiencing?
It's just such a Tennessee and kind of a Knoxville moment that this became a – I mean, how long ago was the man fired? 4 months ago? That it became a four-month ordeal that they couldn't just find a way to cover the guy up or do something. It had to play out on Twitter and, you know, Chancellor Davenport's tweeting stuff about it and asking people to be patient. And now they finally is coming down. And I was told a long time ago when he did come down, they're going to replace all three images. So we'll see if that happens and who gets up there. But it's just such a kind of a – it feels like a only at Tennessee kind of drama with this play out.
Man. Grant, thank you so much for your time. How can the good people, man, follow what you're doing over there, GoVols247?
GoVols247.com, ton of free content, always doing Q&As and mailbags and a ton of interaction with the staff on our board. Always have live threads during the games, and Twitter.com/GrantRamey, GrantRamey, Jason Swain's number one source for basketball.
That's correct. And for the record, Grant, your Twitter picture, you and your beautiful son, handsome son, is the picture I'm using right now instead of the glamour shot picture from third grade.
We might have to change that because if this kid doesn't start sleeping at night, he's gonna have a new dad.
Hey man, I don't have a son, so I'll take him off your hands for a little bit. I don't think it'll be weird if I'm walking around the grocery store, you know, with a white kid in my buggy. No one's going to think anything.
That won't look odd at all.
Yeah, that won't look weird at all, man. No one's going to ask any questions. Hey, who's this guy Swain, this little white kid Swain is carrying around, you know, the grocery store? I just say it's Grant. Grant, let me babysit.
And when he grows up, he'll get all the Brad Pitt Fight Club references.
Hey, Grant, man, thanks so much for your time, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Enjoyed it.
See ya. I know exactly how you feel, Grant, about not sleeping. I got two of them under three that hate. I mean, hate. Hate's a strong word. I'm using hate. They hate sleeping in their bed.
And they kick you out of yours.
My
literally
amazing better mattress, bedrmattress.com, with the adjustable base. I love my mattress. It's so great that even my kids love it, and I only get to sleep with one leg on it each night.
I think you need to go to Better Mattress and get a baby bed, and I say that not to say that you need a bed for your baby. You need a bed for yourself for when your babies kick you out of your own bed. You know, just an auxiliary mattress right there next to the actual bed, but it's the one that you go to when they come and invade your space.
Well, the good thing is, March, there's a store-wide promotion going on.
There
okay?
you go.
Boom. So there's a chance to get up to 40% off of any better mattress by participating in their March Madness Challenge. All right, so you get one basketball shot in store, up to 40% off purchases. So this may be my time to get that good deal, because you know I got the stroke like Steph Curry. Now Ben may look like him, but my jump shot is like Steph Curry. I'm going to get this 40% off of this mattress. This is going to be my, my bed.
I just want to know when you're getting a minivan.
when Grant lets me take his son, I'll get a minivan.
You're going to need it at that point.
Yeah, I won't be able to fight it. I'll hit up Cole and say, hey, man, hook me up with the guy that you got your minivan
careful
from.
Your minivan guy.
Careful. Remember, he's sensitive. He might trigger him.
You better leave Cole alone.
You better leave me alone.
Slain Event, Fuel by Dead and Barbecue. Talk recruiting. Ryan Callahan, GoVols 24/7, coming up next.
Of the Swain event is powered by Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again. Let us help.
Craving homemade flavors that don't take hours in the kitchen? Mrs. Grissom's cheese spreads and chicken salads are the perfect go-to. Ready-to-eat meals and snacks found in the meat or dairy section at the grocery store, with flavors of home in every bite. Whether you crave the classic Mrs. Grissom's pimento cheese or the gold gluten-free select cranberry pecan chicken salad, enjoy the sweet taste of a home-cooked meal in every container. Select the best. Select Mrs. Grissom's. Small town like a small town.
You're driving home, flashing blue lights in your rearview mirror. You pull over, step out of your car, and the next thing you know, you're being arrested for driving under the influence. Now, what do you do? We all should be responsible. But remember, just because you're arrested doesn't mean you're guilty. Call criminal defense and DUI attorney Marcos Garza at 865-540-8300. The investigative teams at the Garza Law Firm know the justice system inside and out. They utilize cutting-edge technologies and investigative methods to prepare your specific case. Before you plead guilty to any criminal charges, call criminal defense and DUI attorney Marcos Garza. Put his number in your phone right now, 865-540-8300, because you never know when you or a friend will need it. Don't say guilty. Say Garza. 865-540-8300. 865-540-8300 and GarzaLaw.com.
Voted best barbecue in City View Magazine and a top 100 barbecue restaurant in the country, Dead End is a no-brainer when you are craving the smoky flavor of Quality Q. Dead End makes it easy to enjoy their fantastic menu with online ordering and local delivery with Valet Gourmet. That's right, you can have Dead End brought to you. Can't think of the spread for your next event? Get Dead End to cater it. Check them out online, deadendbbq.com. Dead End Barbecue, the search is over.
Insurance. Nobody likes surprises, so switch to Erie Rate Lock. Get a great rate that stays that way, even after an accident, ticket, or inflation. In fact, it's locked until you change a car, driver, or your address.
Your Erie agent in Knoxville is InsureFit RM. Get a quote at 865-684-4900. That's 865-684-4900.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage and is not available in all states.
More than 20 million Americans suffer from gallbladder disease, and if you're one of them, Premier Surgical Associates can help. Gallbladder removal is one of the most common and safe surgeries available, and Premier has experienced physicians who are trained in the latest techniques for diagnosing and surgically treating gallbladder disease. Don't keep putting up with the pain. Visit PremierSurgical.com right now to find out all the ways they can help you live a better life. Premier Surgical Associates, expertise you can trust.
Cryptology Escape Rooms in Pigeon Forge is the area's top-rated new attraction. With four unique escape room experiences to choose from, Cryptology has something for everyone. At Cryptology, you and your friends have 1 hour to solve the clues, riddles, and puzzles that lead to your escape. From first-timers to seasoned escape room pros, Cryptology has something for everyone. This is an experience you have to see to believe. Located on the Parkway in Pigeon Forge, Cryptology is a short trip from Knoxville. Come see for yourself why thousands of satisfied visitors have rated Cryptology the best escape room experience in East Tennessee. Cryptology is also a great place for corporate team building exercises or holiday outings. Visit CryptologyWithAK.us now or call 865-366-1796 for more information or to book your Cryptology experience. That's CryptologyWithAK.us or 865-366-1796.
If you need a better night's sleep, you have to visit Better Mattress. With six area locations in Maryville, Knoxville, and Oak Ridge, there is a Better Mattress near you. Locally and employee-owned with exclusive mattresses handcrafted in East Tennessee, there really is not another place like Better Mattress in town. Not only do they know what they're doing, they care about what they're doing. Better Mattress has a worry-free 100-night guarantee. Get started now. Visit BetterMattress.com. That's BEDRmattress.com and click on Mattress Prescription. Good night, just got better.
We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, and Simplico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's, or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technicians to see how we can get your phone working today.
As the weather grows colder, insects begin to become dormant. That does not mean that you don't need to safeguard your home from pests. Now is the perfect time to begin treatment to prevent issues in the spring. Let Southeast Termite and Pest Control handle all of your pest control needs. Southeast is locally and family owned and has been in business since 1971. They are a full service pest control company that includes mosquito treatments, bed bugs, fall invaders, spring issues, carpenter bees, etc. They even offer liquid termite treatments with the market's best termiticide. There are no salesmen to deal with. The technicians give the pricing and provide the service, and the owners are always available. So contact Southeast Termite and Pest Control at 865-925-3700 and online at southeasttermite.com.
Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. We go to the B Dry Waterproofing Hotline. Once again, I told you it is GoVols 24/7 hour, and hour number three, the Swain Event. We talked to Ryan Callahan, again, GoVols 24/7 recruiting analyst, and just a busy, busy weekend. Tennessee basketball team winning the SEC championship and regular season SEC championship. And then this weekend, probably Tennessee's biggest weekend for junior days as far as the caliber of players in town. Ryan, what a day, man. kind of felt like an official recruiting weekend, man, with all the high-profile players here.
It really was. And we expected, you know, one of Tennessee's two junior days to be noticeably bigger than the other, and it turned out to be this past one. And I think all told, more than 20 Tennessee targets in town, several other guys that they're taking a pretty hard look at right now. So to get that kind of turnout this early in the year, that can be big for down the road. You're certainly not close to landing most of these guys. In a lot of cases, you're getting them on campus for the first time or just the second time or the first time with this new staff at least. So you're kind of laying the groundwork, but there's a good chance, as with most of these big junior days, you're going to look back in several months and say, man, Tennessee got five or six guys on campus that ended up being part of their class during one of those junior days early on, and this certainly was a big weekend for them.
Man, good stuff, man. Really, 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 really pumped about this staff having a complete year to recruit and develop some of those relationships. I hear about a five-star offensive tackle, currently Alabama commit, that was in town, and some big time players, man. Can you go through and let us know just the high caliber players that were in town?
Yeah, so, well, actually, just to clarify, Pierce Quick, the Alabama offensive line commitment you referenced, he actually didn't end up making it to Tennessee. He was scheduled to make it in, did not make it in.
Okay.
Went to Alabama and actually just yesterday announced that he is shutting down his recruitment and sticking with the Crimson Tide. So that ship appears to have sailed as far as Tennessee is concerned. But they did have some other five stars on campus. Owen Papo, the linebacker from Georgia, big-time player that's been involved with Tennessee now for a few years, and Tennessee seems to have gotten back into the picture. We've got a story on him right now on GoVols 24/7, but definitely someone that Tennessee has gotten a foot back in the door with after they appeared to be out of it with the former staff. I think Jeremy Pruitt's staff has sort of breathed new life into that one for Tennessee. And then another five-star, Clay Webb, an offensive lineman from Alabama, an uncommitted guy on the offensive line that obviously Alabama and some other programs are heavily involved with. So that was a big first step for Tennessee to get him there. And then some other highly ranked guys, Wanya Morris, who's a teammate of Owen Papo. Morris is a top 100 offensive lineman, big-time player that Tennessee has a real shot at. Ramel Keaton, a four-star wide receiver from Georgia. Tyrion Davis, a four-star running back from Baton Rouge, who's committed to LSU, right there in LSU's backyard, and going to be a tough pull. But, you know, Tennessee got him on campus, and now he's talking about coming back on official visits. Another four-star running back, Samson James from up in Indiana. TriQuez Bridges, a four-star safety from Alabama. So pretty lengthy list, as you can tell. A good number of four stars, and then several others who are, you know, three stars but definitely high on Tennessee's board right now, or who appear to be at least legitimate options to keep an eye on in the coming months.
Wow. And I see what happened with that Alabama commit. You know, when you are only a few miles away from Tuscaloosa, and I'm pretty sure Nick Saban does not like the fact that a lot of his staff is up here in Tennessee, Jeremy Pruitt being the head coach and using some of those relationships that he developed at Alabama, I'm pretty sure they put some pressure on that kid to shut it down.
I'll say this, as far as, you know, that Alabama connection, it's interesting you mentioned that, you know, to get guys like Quay Webb and TriQuez Bridges on campus from the state of Alabama. That doesn't include Patrick Lucas, the defensive tackle from Alabama, and Rick Samuel and Ladarius Cox, a few defensive linemen from down there. J.D. Martin, a three-star athlete that Tennessee offered a few weeks ago, and several other guys who don't have Tennessee offers yet from Alabama. You can see that those connections they have from the state of Alabama, from working at Alabama, having those guys visit and things like that in the past, it definitely did pay off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Tennessee plans to recruit that state pretty heavily, maybe a little more heavily than the previous staff did. I think the previous staff had a little bit of luck getting those guys on campus, but never had, you know, all that much optimism they could pull really good players out of there, unless it was someone that Alabama or Auburn passed on in some cases. With this staff, I think they're confident they can go in there and compete and maybe pull a guy out of there that people aren't expecting them to get.
Ryan, you're touching on my question there. What differences are you seeing between this staff and Butch Jones' staff in the way that they're recruiting and looking at players?
Yeah, I think so far, you know, maybe the biggest difference to me is kind of the way they're attacking some of the states around Tennessee. I think they've got a pretty good plan for how they want to put together a class. You know, Jeremy Pruitt's kind of made it clear he's going to take sort of a year-to-year approach with in-state players and with players anywhere for that matter. But making it clear that he's not going to load up on in-state talent just for the sake of getting in-state players. He wants guys who can fit his system. And related to that, I think he's made it clear that he's going to go into surrounding states where there's a lot of talent and kind of prioritize some states that maybe Tennessee's former staff wasn't as involved in. And one of the best examples of that is North Carolina. They've put out a ton of offers in the state of North Carolina. We've seen Tennessee get a few players out of there, the Emmanuel Mosleys and guys like that, over the past few years with Butch Jones' staff, but not with any consistent success. You know, one or two years they did pretty well there, and a couple other years not so much. I think that state's going to be a big priority for Tennessee, and even with guys like Montario Hardesty on staff, we're seeing him be pretty active over in eastern North Carolina where he's from, and throw out a lot of offers there. So I think Tennessee's going to be pretty active there. And in states like that and Alabama, I think you're seeing a renewed commitment from this staff to get involved there and take advantage of the connections they have and make sure that Tennessee is involved with some of the best players in these surrounding states so that they're not just relying on in-state talent for elite prospects.
Yeah, that's one of the greatest things I've heard this morning, Ryan, and I've always said it, is, you know, the whole in-state recruiting can be tricky because, you know, the first thing a coach says is, hey, we want to lock down the state, you know, of recruiting. That doesn't mean you get every single player that's, you know, good enough to play college. Not every single player is good enough to play at Tennessee. And sometimes we may take a chance on a kid just because he's from Tennessee because you don't want to ruffle any feathers. But at the same time, I mean, you got to get the best players. And Tennessee has always been a program to recruit nationally. And so I'm just glad that we are not saying, okay, we'll recruit a player just from Tennessee because he's an in-state talent over a player from another state, even though the player from another state is better. We just got to be really careful with that because in-state talent doesn't always equate to wins. It's talent that's coached and developed that equates to wins. So I'm glad that we're not letting that stuff get in the way just so the fans can be happy about an in-state player staying in-state.
Yeah, and I think this the former staff, I think in some cases maybe was just a little bit too quick triggered to go after some of the guys they had the best shot of landing. You know, in some cases they went after who they thought they could get instead of maybe swinging big for the fences. And I think this staff has shown, at least so far, that they're a little more willing to be in some of those big time battles and have confidence in themselves to pull it out. Now this year at signing day, obviously they struck out on all the big names they were in on, aside from J.J. Peterson down the stretch. You know, they had some big wins in the early signing period, but on signing day it did go the way they wanted. Now with the benefit of a full year, we'll see how that goes. But, you know, when you see them going after a four-star LSU commitment from Baton Rouge, you know, that's the exact type of player I'm talking about. You know, most people would probably say that's not worth your time. You're going after an LSU commitment right in LSU's backyard. This staff's taking the approach of, hey, we got that guy on campus at Alabama multiple times. Why couldn't we pull a guy like that when we need a running back? So I think that's just a difference in mentality so far that we've seen. And we'll see if they keep it up and how much success that approach has. But I definitely think they're much more involved and willing to go into some of these big-time recruiting battles and confident in their evaluations and all those things than maybe the previous staff was in some cases.
Junior day tends to fall on Saturdays with basketball games going on. Do these basketball games have any impact with the recruits in the stands? And if so, with Saturday's game being such a great environment, have you heard any recruits kind of speak towards that, resonate with them or anything?
So it can be hit and miss. In this case, I think the 6 o'clock tip-off didn't do them any favor, too many favors as far as keeping guys around for that. When you're talking about bringing in these guys from out of state, a lot of players had to leave by the time the game started to be able to get back home that night. So if they weren't staying in town overnight or from pretty close by, it was tough for some of those guys to stick around. I have spoken with at least a couple of guys who hung around for the game, hoping to speak with one of the higher-rated guys who was at the game, Ramel Keaton, a 4-star wide receiver from Georgia, a little bit later. But, I think that helps. That's the kind of thing that makes a little bit of a difference, as the experience for sure. Certainly shows people the fan base if they haven't been to a Tennessee football game before and gets them in a great environment. But I don't know that it's the type of thing that they benefited from a lot this past weekend just because the timing didn't work out very well for them with some of the guys who were in from out of state. I know a lot of guys that I spoke with had to head back around 5, 6, 7 o'clock and didn't really have a chance to do that and instead spent their final hour or so on campus maybe visiting with coaches and just kind of headed home.
Ryan, last question before we get you out of here, man. Have the coaches identified any areas? I know right now they're just trying to get out there and just recruit during the early signing period, and Pruitt still being a defensive coordinator at Alabama. But now that he's been here a few weeks, have they identified any recruiting territories?
Yeah, you know, they have. I think, you know, in the mid-state area, I think in Nashville, you're going to see Terry Fair and Kevin Scherer be the main recruiters there. It sounds like Terry Fair handling a lot of the immediate Nashville area, and maybe Kevin Scherer working some of the surrounding areas a little bit more, and a little bit in Nashville too. So those are the main two guys I think you'll see there. You know, a lot of territory so far. You know, this is the time of year you see even graduate assistants and quality control assistants playing a big role in some territory. So I mentioned Montario Hardest, he's going to play a big role in Eastern North Carolina. You've heard Brian Niedermeyer's name a lot in North Carolina when coaches were out on the road. I think he's going to handle a little bit more of Western North Carolina and the Charlotte area. Chris Winkie, I think, will be involved there as well, probably because of his connections there from his time in Carolina. So I think, you know, we'll find out a little bit more about that as time goes on, but that's some of what we've heard so far. Kevin Scherer, I think, is also going to have some of the state of Alabama, and that will be divided up between a couple of guys. You know, Charles Kelly, I think, will have some territories in Florida and maybe southern Georgia, places like that, where he's familiar with from his time at Florida State. So that's a little bit of what we've gathered so far. And obviously David Johnson, with his connections in Louisiana, is going to recruit the state of Louisiana. And he's very well connected down there. So I think you're going to see Tennessee be pretty involved with some good players from down there. So we'll know a little bit more over the next couple of months, but that's what's kind of come out so far. And certainly the spring evaluation period is where we'll get a much clearer picture of where some guys are going on a pretty regular basis and how that's been divided up.
Ryan Callahan at Ryan Callahan 247 on Twitter. And I asked Grant the same question I asked you, about the things you have going on at the website. You know, he covers basketball, does a great deal with that, and you're on the recruiting trail. And for those that are just tuning in right now that didn't hear Grant earlier, you guys have different specials at different times of the year. What's the special right now?
Well, yeah, free 7-day trial right now, and it is a pretty busy time on the site. Obviously, there's a lot going on with Tennessee. You've got we just had the NFL Combine, you know, wrapping up with the Tennessee players in there. We've had coverage of that. And then, of course, basketball. Well, Grant and Wes will be over in St. Louis later this week for the SEC tournament. Plenty of coverage of that leading up to it as well. And continuing to wrap up this junior day, a good number of visitors. So we'll be writing about this one for several days with all the guys Tennessee had in town, and already had plenty of coverage on that. So go check out all that right now at GoVols247.com. Great time to check out the site and jump on that 7-day free trial.
Ryan Callahan, GoVols247, man. Thanks so much.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
That is Ryan Callahan, recruiting analyst for GoVols247. I want to throw out some quick questions for the listeners, and we'll get to the text box and Facebook Live before we wrap up today's show as well. But Grant talked about Ron Slay and how vocal he's been and how helpful he's been and really entertaining to our fan base, someone that's, you know, outspoken and prideful in his program. And it got me thinking, you know, which former Tennessee football player would you want to see like that, like a Ron Slay? And I got one already in mind that would be just perfect if they were on Instagram or video after every single game, and they came to a football game, and we gave them the mic during halftime. I already got my football player, former Vol football player, that I would love to be the Ron Slay of football.
The hype man. I'd love to see Al Wilson do it.
Yeah. He's so serious, though. I mean, Ron makes you laugh.
But I think Al would be so serious to the point where, like, he'd get some good smack talk in.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. He'll get the team hype.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
Well, Al would be good for the on-field pumping up the crowd like Ron did during the basketball game. But as far as Instagram can, we may need another form of all. On
I got
Instagram
the perfect
videos.
One. Let me look at my paper.
Why don't you share it?
You know what, Charlie? I would be honored if someone with a master's degree was over my shoulder looking at my paper. Go ahead, man. Go ahead, cheat. Go ahead.
Nobody can read your little chicken scratch.
Get your Derrick Rose on. Look at my paper.
Nobody can read your chicken scratch.
I write like a doctor, man.
I genuinely can't.
Let me read it then.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can read it.
Right here.
Oh, Malik Jackson.
Oh, okay.
He would be a star.
Hey.
Yeah.
Dule.
He would be a star. He would be so hilarious. It'll be great. The only thing is he played during the Dooley eras, so I don't know how much of what he's going to say is going to carry weight to maybe some of the younger players because they don't really remember his time.
There are some fans that don't really know who Malik Jackson is
because of the time that he played in,
and he was a JUCO guy,
and he wasn't here long, whatever. But he would be a gem. Who? Him and Alvin Kamara.
Alvin Kamara. Nope, there it is. Alvin Kamara. Done. That's who I want.
Yeah, Alvin would be great.
Alvin.
Yeah,
his Instagram videos after the game.
Oh yeah, that'd be hilarious, man.
And then him on the mic during the game.
It'd be great.
It's over.
Rashawn Golden ran a 4.64, his first unofficial 40 time, and I don't think that's bad. I think that's okay. Needs to be better, of course. Getting a 4.5s, if he wants to, you know, a 4.6 will get him drafted where we think he's all, where most of people think he's going to get drafted at. And he'll still make plays. But if he wants to maybe jump some people, maybe jump a couple DBs, be drafted higher than what the experts think, then he's, of course, going to have to run a little bit better time. But Golden has the film. Just turn the film on, and he doesn't run a 4. He doesn't play like a 4.6. He plays like a 4.3. He plays fast. So not a bad time, but he can improve it. He can improve it for sure.
Speaking of fast 40 times, LSU corner Dante Jackson just ran a 4.32 on a bad start, didn't run in a straight line, and has a cramp in his calf, and ran a 4.32.
He's a freak, man. Those dudes down track. Those dudes down there, man, they're freaks. And running track helps you, too. Just and Rashawn Gardner ran track, too, in high school. So you just never know, man. You know, just I'm going to take you through the NFL combine just for a participant. So you get there, and during the weigh-ins, you are in spandex and no shirt, and it's like a meat market, and there's 100 teams in a room or 100 representatives from 32 teams in a room taking pictures of you weighing in. You've interviewed. You've been to the hospital. They've poked. They've prodded you. I can only imagine what they've done to Rashawn Golden because he's had some injury history. And then you go up there, you're performing this 40, and you look up, and there's freaking Jerry Jones and Sean Payton and this dude and GM and that head coach. And, man, that's a lot. That playing the game is playing the game, but this is something different. This is not football. This is track. This is not the game of football that's going on right now at the NFL Combine. And so the guys who perform well, man, kudos to them because, wow, all that pressure to be able to do that. But some of the guys who maybe run slower than what they know they really could run, I understand why. I understand why. Like Shaquem Griffin ran the 4.38, but on another run, he ran a 4.58. Like the first run, he ran a 4.58. And then the second one, he runs a 4.38. So that tells you a lot right there. So Rashawn Golden's going to be okay. A 4.64 is not the end of the world. He still has a pro day. He still has a second run. He's going to do the rest of his drills perfectly. Mm-hmm. He's going to be just fine. He'll just be fine. There's a misconception that 4.3s and 4.4s grow on trees, and they don't. There's a lot of great football players that – already have participated who ran 4.5s, 4.6s, and they're great on Saturdays. And that's what matters the most. 40s are important. You got to be able to run. 4.6 doesn't mean you can't run. It just means that maybe something technical happened. It may be nerves, something like that. Golden is fast. He'll be just fine. But he ran 4.6. All right, who we got there?
Jim.
Hey, Jim, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm great, Jim. How are you?
Just fine. First question, what's the weather like up there?
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful day to modify the Jumbotron.
Take care of some
Thank
pest control.
God. Don't have to get the shotgun out. Second thing, I think Alvin Kamara would be great, you know, if you catch him up there on the weekend when he's not there, you know, not playing or whatever, an open weekend, just give him the mic and throw some airheads out, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm with that pick, Alvin Kamara and Malik Jackson, both funny.
One more thing before I get off stuff like that. You see Galvin ran the 4.64. I've listened to you when I was on hold. Ain't no big deal. That Philip Dorsett out of Miami, he was about a 4.32, right? You mm-hmm. know, run past everybody, but he got stone hands. Mm-hmm. You know, you might be 10 yards deep on everybody, but if you can't catch it, you may as well be a 4.9.
Yeah, I got one from the late 90s and early 2000s. How about Ahmad Carroll, DB for Arkansas? When Arkansas was this big track powerhouse, he ran track super fast, but was not a great corner. Not a great corner at all. Batman.
I mean, you might be fast, but you might be just an idiot back there running around, you know. You take a look at some of the slot receivers. If they're quick and stuff, they don't have to be fast. You just get there, hit that hard cut, and boom.
Yeah.
You know, get the ball out there. You got 6, 7, 8, something like that. But, you know, fast ain't the only thing from it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. He'll be just fine.
You guys take care, and hey, Charlie, don't cheat. You know, I mean, you know, did you get your master's by looking over a shoulder?
It was
my shoulder.
No, definitely not.
Okay, you guys take care. We'll talk to you later.
Hey, thank you. Taking a look at the text box, I'll let Charlie look at the Facebook Live comments for today. Vols Ball says, can you help me understand how Tennessee is a champion? The tournament hasn't started yet. Well, in college basketball, they have regular season champions. This is a team with the best record in conference. And then you have a tournament champion. So the team who wins a tournament is crowned SEC conference tournament champions. You will see the title be different here in a couple days.
Regular season champs, tournament champs. There's essentially two champions if two different teams win.
Yes.
I guess technically this year could have three SEC champions with Tennessee, Auburn, and then if a different school wins the tournament.
Just like in football, you have a regular season division champion based on what you did in a regular season. Mm-hmm. So last year, Florida, because of the teams that they beat in the league, in the division, they were the regular season East champions, okay? But in football, you have a game to determine who is the overall conference championship. So under these stipulations, Tennessee is the champion in the regular season, along with Auburn.
A weird concept.
Along with Auburn, yes. But it's just that's basketball. That's just how they do it in college basketball. Chris from Dyer says, Charlie Lenardi and Ben Curry. Sounds like a very interesting podcast title. I think it'd be great.
Close. I mean,
speaking of which, our episode tomorrow that we're going to record should be a fun one. We're going to fill out our SEC tournament bracket, make some predictions. We're going to give out our SEC awards.
I'm excited.
I'm pumped. And then we got to figure out a way to do the show or record it in St. Louis.
Oh, well, we'll figure it out. I mean, I'll bring my at worst, I will bring my voice recorder that I have. I have a decently fancy voice recorder that I record interviews with. And we can just talk into it.
We can always periscope it too.
We got you taken care of, guys. We'll figure out how to help you out there. We got you.
And Ben's mother has dropped into the Facebook, God. And she says,
Anita Curry.
She says, Ben, get down there to the stadium, and get on Facebook Live and Periscope because we need to see what's going on.
She
texted me about 40 minutes ago and said, "What are you on this morning?"
That is not the Ben that I raised.
What are you on this morning? With a laughing emoji.
Yeah, your mom is awesome, man.
She's the bomb.com. I got to spend – Saturday was fun. Both my parents drove up, went to the baseball game, watched Tennessee beat Memphis in baseball. Then by the time the baseball game was over, we went and got some grub, and then we went over to the basketball game.
When is your mom going to hook us up with some goodies, man?
When are you going to hook us up with some goodies?
She's the bake, you know, the goodies, man.
Well, I am going to be home for spring break next week, so I will talk her into whipping up some ooey gooey butter cake to bring back.
Yeah,
oh,
man.
Dude.
Yeah.
Were you here? Was that you? No, that was Daniel.
I know Daniel
benefited from the ooey. My mom, before you arrived, sent back some ooey gooey butter cake.
I've had my mom has made that before. And
it's delicious.
Yeah.
Absolutely delicious.
No doubt about it. I will say, as far as St. Louis goes, St. Louis known for its, I guess it's a toasted ravioli, but toasted, that's what it's called, but it's actually fried ravioli. And I can get down with that.
That doesn't excite me.
It sounds good, though.
And going by the Cardinal Stadium and giving it the Rashawn Golden, the respect it deserves, by giving it the Rashawn Golden salute.
Why the Cardinals?
I will always be bitter towards the Cardinals as a Rangers fan because of the 2011 World Series.
Wait, you're a Rangers fan?
Yeah.
Have we not had this discussion?
Yeah.
You watch baseball?
You got family down there in Dallas. I
grew up, so I used to stay for like weeks in the summer when I was a kid in Fort Worth. And we would go to Arlington. That was what we did a lot, go to Rangers games.
See, my aunt and uncle live in St. Louis, so I've kind of always had a little flirtatious thing with the Cardinals.
Oh, heck no.
Why do I have this picture in my head, Charlie, when you like a little kid, like 7 years old, but with that beard? I have this mental picture like you just, you know, this tall, but still with the same face.
The honest to God truth, I didn't have this beard until, I guess really until I started getting into sports media, so about 3 years ago. It was new to this profession, and I've had it pretty much the entire time.
Because you don't have time to shave. I mean, look, like, usually I shave, you know, my head bald. I haven't shaved my head in like 2 or 3 weeks, man. Look at that, man. Look at all that hair right there, man.
Look at all that peach fuzz. On that note.
Yeah, man. Okay, I'm about to grow some dreads.
Yes, earlier in the show, during one of the breaks, I was trying to talk Swain into growing dreads. So you as a listener, I need your help.
I'm not growing dreads.
We need to convince Swain to grow dreads.
I'm not growing
hair. We have
hair.
To do it.
I'm not growing hair.
Imagine
I
how
tried
great,
it in high school.
But imagine how good you would be. Like, you're already good at radio. You would just take that next step just because you have
but
dreads.
But I have not seen anyone in radio.
You can be
excel with dreads. It's only been proven scientifically in sports.
You can be the first.
On the field.
What if
on the football field.
What if I grew dreads with you?
Ben, I think we should pump the brakes. People are just now finding out that you're white.
Yeah,
people have been thinking you're black for all this time.
That's true.
So maybe we should just take baby steps here.
But if I have dreads, they'll give them a little more ammo.
Yeah. Steph Curry wouldn't approve of that, man. Steph Curry doesn't wear dreads. Sorry.
Well, look, here's the thing. I don't look like Steph Curry. Steph Curry looks like me.
He's older than you.
He still looks like me.
He's older than you, Ben. That's the way it works. He was here before you. That you can't do that. You look like him, if anything.
He looks like me.
Ben, no, it's not the way it works. Not the way it works.
I'm not a businessman. I'm a businessman.
I'm a businessman.
Mama Anita, your son. Whatever Fred was sipping on Friday, that coffee he was drinking, I repeat, coffee. Ben is on it today. I think Ben's just super excited that today is Moving Monday, the Jumbotron, and that we won the SEC regular season championship.
And also cocaine.
What?
Charlie, where did that come from? I'm not on the cocaine this morning.
God.
But
Ben didn't do any cocaine.
On the Jumbotron, note. I'm about to head to the crib. I'm about to change. And then Charlie and I are going to head over to G10, and we're about to hop on Periscope.
Look for it. Like, what time you think that's going to be?
10:40-ish.
I got to hurry up, man.
Already.
They're taking it off now. It's supposed to be all done by noon.
Well, if we can get down there by, like, 10:45.
You know what's going to happen. They're going to wait till the media goes and talks to Rick Barnes at noon before they do anything.
Yes. So I got to go home, too, and load the third hour of the podcast. Then we'll go directly over it. Look for it, 10:45 to 11.
Somewhere
we'll give you a live update from right over there.
Jumbotron, Rick Barnes. Yes, that's tough.
Well, and I got class, too.
Dude, class is like third
The
option
Jumbotron
here.
Is way better
but here's
than class.
I
that's
agree,
third
but,
option
But
here,
here's
man.
The thing. I'm skipping class on Friday to go to the SEC tournament. Also, I didn't get to tell you this story, but on Friday, I spent 30 minutes with my online teacher from Guatemala. For 30 minutes. I had to talk to her in Spanish for 30 straight minutes.
Wow.
You know how hard this was for me.
And we're going to do so. On that note, we're going to do – or Ben is going to do the entire podcast tomorrow in Spanish.
We got to go. This
I can
this
introduce
getting,
myself.
This is getting crazy.
Hola.
This is crazy. Ben thinks he's Steph Curry. Now he thinks he's Ramondo Curry.
Stephon
Rodriguez Curry. I mean, this is getting out of hand. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, Hour 3, powered by Low T Center, lowtcenter.com. Men, do you know your numbers? If you don't, make sure you give Low T Center a call. Let them get your testosterone number. Let them put you in a place so where you can be right back on the road to feel like you did 10, 15 years ago. Great energy, great mental focus, libido, where it should be. That is the Low T Center. For Ben McKee, Charlie Burris, I'm Jason Swain. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Peace and love. Have a great Monday, because Monday is always the best day of the week, especially the day. Jumbotron workers, we love you from the bottom of my heart. That's it. We're out.